it's so good to be here with you all this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to share about what God's doing in Chile and to open God's word and preach this morning as well. As the pastor said, my name is Jason Holt. I gave some prayer cards to a few of you that came this morning, and then got some more we'll be sure to get in your hands so you can be remembering our family and praying for us. But we've been serving in the country of Chile. We left for South America for language school back in 2003. My wife and I at the time had been married for just a little over a year, and we had a four-week-old baby that just was born, and we loaded up on a plane and left Atlanta, landed in Peru, learned Spanish. I don't know if there's any Spanish speakers here this morning. Looking around, not seeing a lot of raised hands. So if I get stuck on a word in English, because sometimes after preaching and teaching and doing ministry so long in Spanish, we've been back in the States now for about 5 weeks. And so whenever I open up the Bible, everything just kind of goes back into Spanish. So you have to bear with me this morning. But we landed there in language school. After finishing learning the language, we arrived to Santiago, Chile. Santiago is a city of 7 million people. 7 million people squeezed into a small area. There's about an average of 18 houses per acre there in the city. And so you can imagine a lot of people living in a very small area. If you walk out of any of the churches that we've been able to start, within just about a 15-minute walk in each direction, there's about 50,000 people. And if you go just 2 miles down the road, you're in a totally different neighborhood, different area, a different pocket in the city that needs a church as well. It's a predominantly pedestrian society where people walk to get to where they're going or take public transportation. Great need for many churches to be planted there in the city. And from the city, there's many towns there in Chile that still need the gospel. Chile, like most countries in Latin America, it's got a Catholic background where most people would say they believe the Bible, they believe in Jesus, believe that he died and was buried and rose from the grave, but they believe that what Jesus did isn't enough and that we have to live our life doing good works to try to work together with Jesus to earn salvation. But we know the Bible doesn't teach that at all. The Bible teaches us that there's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. And it's all by grace. It's all a gift of God, something we don't deserve. And the good thing is, since people say they believe the Bible, we have an open door to open up God's word and begin to share text from the Bible. And we see people saved by God's grace on a regular basis there in Chile. Rarely does a week go by among the different churches that someone is not putting their faith in Christ. Latin America is a very open field to the gospel. Well, in 2005, we started Iglesia Bautista Fe, Faith Baptist Church, there with a lady and her two children. And that church began to grow as people put their faith in Jesus and were saved. And they began to share the gospel with their friends and family. Within about a year or so, we had about 100 people coming there to the church. But we were praying, Lord, we didn't come here just to pastor a church on the field. Our desire is that you would call some men to preach. Put that desire in the hearts of some of the men and help us to prepare them and train them to send them out to see other churches started so that there are local churches preaching the gospel, reaching people in their local community. Well, about 3 years into that first church plant, we had three men within about a six-month period all share that God was working in their hearts about being a preacher, being a pastor, being a church planner. And so we started a Bible Institute to help train those guys for the ministry. And they were getting experience in the evenings there at the church doing different ministries. And from there, we began to start some other churches. And by God's grace, the men that we've been able to train there through the Bible Institute, we've seen 15 churches that have been started. Church number 16 is in the middle of being started right now. And we're just excited about what God is doing. We've got 76 students right now that are preparing for the ministry between men and women. And we're excited about the doors that the Lord has opened up there in Chile. Latin America is a very fertile field, a very open field. Most countries are very open. There's a few exceptions with Cuba or Venezuela. But predominantly, there's a lot of openness to the gospel. There in Chile, we can preach on the street, hand out tracts, start churches really wherever we want to. And there's no limits to what we can do there for the gospel's sake. And so we're thankful about what the Lord has been doing, but we're also excited as we look toward the future. We have now a couple of decades that we've been on the field, but now looking toward the future, if Jesus doesn't come back and he allows us to continue to serve him, thinking about what could be done in these next few years, seeing more churches started there in the capital and in smaller towns. We don't talk a lot about east and west in Chile. We talk about north and south. If you're familiar with the map, Chile is that long, narrow, skinny country. It averages about 95 miles wide. But it's as long as Miami to Seattle. So it's a really long country. If you can imagine the width of Florida, but just going the entire length of the country, that's Chile. You got Andes Mountains all on one side, and you go from the mountains down to the ocean. You're never far from the mountains, never far from the ocean there in Chile. But a lot of people that still need to hear the gospel, churches that need to be planted. And we want to ask you all to pray for us, pray for the churches that we're looking to help start. You know, if you go back a decade or so, we were helping start a church or two at a time. Now there's four or five churches that we're in the process of assisting and helping with some of the young pastors. And as we look forward to the future, there's a lot more opportunities. That multiplication process takes hold. And so one of the opportunities on this furlough is to prayerfully consider how we can expand a bit our support base so that we can work alongside some of these churches. Our goal is to help them for 2 to 3 years with some of the basic expenses, but then within that 2 to 3 year period of time that the church could be self-sustained and paying their own expenses there through the young converts that are forming that new church plant. So be praying for Chile. Here's a couple of cheesy ways that you can remember to pray for us, all right? And I say cheesy, because, well, you'll get it. Next time you walk outside and you find yourself saying, man, today it's chilly outside. That can be a little reminder that you need to pray for Chile, pray for our family, pray for the churches that are being started. And so don't let that reminder go away. Or the next time you're sitting down at the table and you're getting ready to pray and you got a bowl of chili, there you go, chili peppers. There's all kinds of ways that you can remember to pray for our family and the work that's going on there. That the Lord will continue to bless. The Lord will continue to give us wisdom, supply the needs, and bless the young pastors as they're working to see people saved there in Chile. Well, I'd like to invite you to open up God's Word with me this morning. And I want to go with you, want you to go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 27. As I was praying about this meeting this morning here with you all, the Lord directed me to a text here in Psalm 27, and the preacher talked about this right before he sang the song that he sung about how oftentimes we talk about the difficulties and the struggles and the problems that we're going through in life, and there's a lot to talk about with the heartaches living in a broken world, a world that's broken by sin and all the problems that sin brings and the aches and pains. We sang the song about how heaven awaits us and all the joys and the glory of heaven. But while we're here in this world, there are a lot of difficulties. But we don't need to just dwell on the difficulties. We need to remember the God that we have that we can trust in when we're going through those hard times. But I don't know about you, but sometimes we can be at church on a Sunday morning, we can be reminded about the good God that we have, and we can leave here with encouragement and excitement about trusting him. But sometimes just a few steps out of the church house or a few days into the week, seeing the circumstances that are around us, it's easy to move from faith to fear. And we have to struggle to get back to living by faith. Because as we walk away from putting our eyes in Jesus, putting our eyes on him and trusting in him, and we begin to put our eyes on the circumstances and the problems, at those times, it's easy to be ruled by, to be governed by fear. Well, this psalm is interesting because here God uses the author, a psalm of David, to show us that battle that sometimes we have between faith and fear. And you know, serving on the mission field is no different than many experiences that all of us face, where we've gone to the field and we have faith in God and we're excited about what He's going to do, but fears can easily come in.
Right.
I remember as we were raising support to go to the field there at the beginning, stepping out by faith and trusting the Lord, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but we're going to trust You and step out by faith. We get to language school and I'm thinking, all right, God, in high school, I did fairly decent in all my classes, but one class, there was one class that my worst grade in high school was Spanish. I thought, I don't understand this. I don't get it. I don't need to get it. I'm never going to speak this. And then the Lord has a sense of humor and He ended up calling me to be a missionary in South America. But you go in there with faith and then you get studying some of those verbs and fear can come in and, oh man, I don't know if I can ever get this. But we have to get from faith or from that fear back to a place of faith, back to our eyes on Jesus. And here in this psalm, we see the writer goes from living by faith to battling with some fear to back living by faith. And that's where I want all of us to get this morning. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1 of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Here the author is just rejoicing and praising the Lord about how God, the Lord, Jesus, is our light. He's our salvation. How in the world can we be afraid? He's our strength. No matter what enemies that we go against, we can put our faith in Jesus and move forward by faith, right? And a few principles, if you're taking notes this morning or you want to remember a few things. The first thing that we see here in this passage is that at times we stand in confident faith. At times we stand in confident faith. We stand in that confident faith because of what God is doing, present tense, what He's doing today. Look at verse number 1 again. The Lord is, present tense, right now, today, He's my light.
Amen.
You know, as we go down the path of life, we don't know what's coming a day ahead, a week ahead, a year ahead. You know, oftentimes we watch the news and we hear the reports of the difficulties that are going on and we think on the finances and the interest rates and all this going on in the world and fears can come in, but we know that today the Lord is our light.
Right.
He gives us the light that we need. His word is a lamp unto our feet and we can trust in Him. He is the light that we need to know how to navigate this dark world. And no matter what you're going through today, I want you to be reminded that today He is your light. Today He is there for you. Today He will help you. If you seek Him, if you go after Him, if you draw close to Him, He will draw close to you. The Bible says that the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Well, I would imagine that many of us today could stand up and share testimonies of how God has saved us by His grace. I think the Lord, I was born and raised in a pastor's home. When I was a small child, I made a profession of faith, but the truth is I didn't really understand the gospel. And as a teenager, I was doing everything on the outside I was supposed to do because my dad didn't really give me a lot of options. It was do what was right or come under the wrath of dad. But on the inside, there wasn't any spiritual desire at all. No desire to follow the Lord or read the Bible. And I remember as a teenager, the Holy Spirit began to convict me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I praise the Lord that I was able to understand the gospel and that He showed me that I was a sinner and I put my faith in Jesus and He saved me. And I'm sure many of us could share that testimony today. And if you are here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus, in Christ alone, if you've been trusting in your family or trusting in your good works or trusting in your religion or thinking that you are a pretty good person, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners and we all have a need of a Savior. And we all need to bow our knee and put our faith in Christ alone. It's not by our works, but it's by what he did. But the Lord is not only, he wasn't only my salvation back when I was 16, but he's my salvation day in and day out. I can trust in him. The Bible tells us that we're in the hand of the Father. We're in the hand of the Son. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Right. And praise the Lord for the salvation that we have today.
Right.
No matter what's going on in your life, be reminded today, stand in confident faith that the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. And when we remember that, whom shall I fear? Who are we going to fear? Are we going to fear other people? Are we going to fear economic reports in the news? Are we going to fear the diagnosis that might come from the doctor? How can we live in fear when we know that the worst thing that could happen to us is we go into his presence and we live with him for eternity? Praise the Lord for the confidence and the hope that we have in Jesus.
Amen.
Verse number 2 goes on and says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh. Notice there, came. He switched now from talking about the Lord in today, in present tense, to talk about the past.
Right.
Not only do we stand in confidence today in the Lord because of what he's doing now, but we also remember what the Lord has done.
Amen.
And the psalmist here remembers, I remember when there were difficulties in the past. I remember when I was scared in the past. I remember when there were problems in the past and I didn't know how to move forward. And I wasn't sure what God was going to do. And I didn't know if this was really going to work. And I was there a bit confused and fearful. But the Lord, he came through, which he always does, right? Well, we can trust him because he is a good God and he is a perfect God. And yes, there are difficulties here in this world, but we have a Father who loves us and we should run to him and lean on him. Here he talks about what the Lord has done. Even when my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. David trusted God so many times and God never failed. And we look back at our past and we remember how good God's been to us. But not only do we think about the present and we think about the past, but we can also remember the future as we're trusting in God. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. Though an host should encamp against me, even if he's speaking in this future tense, this hypothetical situation, even if a host should encamp against me, imagine looking outside today and seeing a host of enemy soldiers coming to attack. Well, David was living in a time when they were at war in many occasions. And there were oftentimes the fear of battle and the fear of, will I make it out of this alive? Will our kingdom be conquered? Will the nation of Israel go into captivity and be controlled by another nation that doesn't know of God and doesn't love God? Some of those thoughts were always there in the back of his mind. But as he looks toward this future and he thinks about the fears that come in when we don't know what comes down the road, he says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. No matter how bad the news is tomorrow, no matter what could possibly happen, my heart's not going to fear. And it's interesting, he talks about the heart there. When we think about the heart, you know, sometimes on the mind level, we might know that we shouldn't fear. That commandment to not fear is repeated so many times in the Word of God. But even though we know it, oftentimes we don't feel it on the heart level.
Amen.
And our emotions can be a bit deceptive. And the next thing you know, we're worrying and we're doubting. And yes, we trust God and we would say that. And we might even have signs or pictures in our house, that artwork that talks about trusting God and the hope we have in him. But our heart can sometimes begin to lead us astray. But the psalmist here writes, knowing who God is, knowing what he's done, we look to the future and we put our hope in him. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this I will be confident. The Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:31. And the Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, as we see things that are going on in our world today, and we know there's areas of the world that are in the midst of war, and people that are looking out of their windows and not sure if their town's going to be conquered or going to be destroyed. Imagine living in those kinds of times. And David says, no matter what's going on, I'm going to put my hope in Jesus. If he's for me, who can be against us? But as we think about this, this standing in confidence, in faith in God, standing strong in the faith of God, look what the Bible says in verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. How do we grow in this confidence in the Lord? How can we keep our eyes steadfast on him? How can we stay strong in our faith no matter what circumstances are going on around us? Well, the Bible here gives us the answer. The one thing that we need to maintain that strong faith is to be in the house of the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord, to spend time with Jesus, to open up God's word and to drink from the water of his word, to eat from the bread of life, to enjoy what we find in God's word, to come into God's house with other believers and sing together the praises to the Lord, to open up God's word and to hear the preaching, the teaching of God's word. Those are the things that feed our heart, that feed our soul, that allows us to stand strong and be reminded that no matter what's going on around us, we can live by faith. We can put confidence in the Lord. John 15:5, the Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Jesus is saying this. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Right.
Without me, ye can do nothing. You know, as we move away from the Lord, we move away from faith in the Lord. We move away from time with the Lord. We move away from being faithful to church and putting our eyes in his word on Jesus. As we move away from him, we move into fear.
Right.
Because the opposite of faith is fear.
Amen.
The opposite of living with our eyes on him is putting our eyes on ourselves, putting our eyes on our resources, our money, our future, our understanding, our intelligence, our family, or whatever it might be. But the truth is, we need to put our hope in Jesus.
Amen.
Put our faith in him.
Amen.
There's a young man named Mirko in Chile. And hearing Mirko's story, he was raised in a family of unbelievers. His mom made a profession of faith when he was in elementary school, and she began to follow the Lord. But his dad was an unbeliever and living far from the Lord. Mirko grew up as a typical teenager there in Chile that's not a Christian. He was in a small rock and roll band there with his friends, and on the weekends with spending time in alcohol and drugs and far from the Lord. And oftentimes would come home at night. And like most of the houses there in Chile, there's either a front wall that keeps people out or a front gate. And he would show up to his gate and he would there in his intoxicated state would struggle to get the key into the gate to be able to go back into his house. And his mom all the while was going to church and praying for Mirko and praying that God would break his heart and praying that God would bring him to the end of himself so that he would realize the hope that there is in Jesus. Well, things started going well on the other side with his studies, and there were some career opportunities. And the next thing you know, Mirko, who was born in a very humble setting, a very simple family, ended up working in a high-rise there in one of the richer downtown areas of Santiago. But in this, looking to the world and looking to money and looking to alcohol and drugs and all these different things, he didn't find anything that would fill the void that was in his heart.
Right.
Because we need Jesus. He's the only one that can make us whole. He's the only one that can give us what we are in, what we're in need of, what we're searching for. And Mirko, by God's grace, found himself going to a Bible-preaching church, and he put his faith in Jesus.
Amen.
But before he got saved, his first son was born, and they named his first son after his favorite rock and roll singer. Well, about 9 years later, their second son was born. And Mirko came to me and he said, we named our first son Axel, but we're going to name our second son Paul, Pablo. And we're going to name him after the Apostle Paul, because I had an old hero, but now I have a new hero.
Amen.
And what a tangible way to see the change that happens in the life of someone, where they move away from putting their trust in themselves, and they begin to put their trust in Jesus. Today, Mirko is a preacher. He's working there in the ministry in Chile, reaching others with the gospel. And what an exciting thing to see lives change, where people realize the truth that abiding in Jesus, knowing Jesus, living for Jesus, knowing Him is what life is all about. Here in this text, verse number 5, the Bible says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion." Or His refuge. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And man, do we need to be reminded this morning that in times of trouble, who do we need to turn to? We need to turn to Jesus. And He's the one who will give us the help that we need. He will hide us in that secret place. He will hide us in His dwelling place. He will set us upon a rock.
Amen.
A guy named Augustus Toplay, seeking refuge from a violent storm in the cleft of a rock, later wrote one of the greatest hymns of the church. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Yeah.
And this text reminds us of that great truth. When we're having problems, we don't need to go to worry or go to fear or go to our own strength and our own know-how to try to find the answers. We need to go to Jesus, first of all, lean into Him, get help from Him, and then move forward by faith doing what He has given us to do. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Here's the pinnacle point of victory. There's enemies around, there's difficulties, but the author says, I raise my head among all these problems in victory. Not because I'm strong or I'm knowledgeable or I'm capable, but I go to the tabernacle of the Lord. I go to God's house and I present sacrifices of joy. I go to Him and I say, Lord, it's all because of You, and I praise You.
Amen.
But look what happens here in this text. In verse number 7, we see a change in what's going on here in this psalm. The author goes from living in great confidence to sharing a bit of that fear that's down in his heart, a little of that doubt that's down on the inside. Verse number 7. O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Now here he's reminding the Lord or asking the Lord and saying, Lord, when I'm in those times when I'm crying, I want You to answer me. Why would he even be questioned? Why would he even be asking the Lord? Here he is for 6 verses. He's talking about the confidence we have in Jesus. And then he's saying, now, Lord, when I call out to You, please hear me.
Right.
Look what it says in verse number 8. It goes on. When Thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father, my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Here the psalmist is talking about all this great confidence that he has in the Lord. And then in that private time of prayer, he tells the Lord, now Lord, I'm going to seek You, and I hope that You're not going to be hiding. I'm going to call to You, and I hope You're going to hear me.
Right.
He's stepping out by faith. All right, we're trusting Jesus. Amen. We're going to have victory.
Yeah.
And then in the private times alone, he's saying, all right, God, I'm stepping out here. But don't leave me out to dry. Amen. Don't leave me hanging. And I don't know if that ever happens in your life. Maybe I shouldn't be so transparent. But oftentimes in the ministry there in Chile, there's been great obstacles and great challenges and great great difficulties right. at different times. And in the pulpit and singing and many times we're praising the Lord and living by faith. But then a few steps down the road, it's easy to find myself thinking, all right, God, now, can I know I can trust you, but I hope I can trust you.
Right.
I know I can call to you, and I know you're going to help me out, but Lord, I'm having a bit of struggle, a bit of doubt.
Right.
And here the Lord allowed this inner turmoil that's going on in the psalmist's life to be recorded in the pages of scriptures because he, like us, sometimes has that battle of faith and fear. We never need to forget that fear lives next door to faith. It's like that roller coaster where we're up and then we're down and we're up and we're down, right? Those are things that happen in the reality of life. But when we get to those moments where the doubt flashes through our mind or the fear flashes through our mind and we have that brief moment of, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I'm not sure if the decision that I made, if this is exactly what God wanted for me or what I should have done, we need to be reminded to do what the psalmist did. Here in verse number 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The psalmist, a little bit later on in chapter 27, verse number 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He's asking for deliverance. He's asking for the Lord. He's trusting in him. At times we stand in confident faith. At times we hide in private fear. But then the psalm we're studying here brings us to the conclusion. And the third principle here is that we need to come back to confident faith in Jesus. Verse number 13, look what the Bible says. If you haven't been paying attention, this is really where you need to plug in. Look what the Bible says, verse number 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
Here, the Bible says, I would have fainted if I wouldn't have put my eyes in the Lord and believed by faith that I was going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Here and now in this earth, in the land of the living. It's easy to sing and think, all right, there's hope in Jesus in heaven. But here, I don't think he even knows that we're around. I don't know if he knows that we're going through these things. That can be the temptation for us to think. But no, the psalmist says, right now, right here in the land of the living, God is aware. He knows what's going on. Amen. He loves us. He cares for us. Right. We can cast our cares on him. He knows everything that's going on in our life. And he sent his son who died on the cross for our sins to redeem us, to give us hope, to change us. And he's prepared a place for us.
Amen.
But today, whenever those private fears come in right. and things that maybe we don't tell anybody else about, we need to go back and say, well, I almost fainted. I would have fainted if I hadn't have remembered the goodness of God in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I don't know what God's doing in your life this morning, but I want to encourage you this morning to renew that commitment to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
To renew that commitment to find that quiet place where you open up his word every day and you read God's word. Or with all the technology we have today, you open up God's word and use your cell phone to have somebody else read it and follow along there and pray through God's word. But I want to encourage you to find time alone with him. I want to encourage you to take your eyes off of the circumstances and the problems and all that's in front of you and know by faith we can trust the Lord. I'm working alongside young Chilean pastors on a regular basis that are going out to new areas and starting churches in areas where there's no believers, and sometimes they can have great faith and then just like you and I, they'll start wondering and having some doubts. And then they got to be reminded, hey, let's put our eyes on Jesus and trust him. And we know that he's the Lord of the harvest and he's called us and he'll provide for us. And let's just move forward by faith. And the same message that we would expect those young preachers to be following, you and I, we have the same God.
Right.
Amen? We have the same God, the same hope, the same Bible, and we need to be reminded to wait on Him. Remember what God has done. Remember what God is doing. Remember what God is going to do. Remember who He is. He's our light. He's our strength. He's our salvation. And bow your fearful heart in prayer. Remember who Jesus is. Dwell in His presence and let Him strengthen your heart. It says there in verse number 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Second time He uses that word there, heart. Those emotions, that level way down on the inside. Once you get past that rough level of the exterior that sometimes we put forth, we need to put our hope in Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray together this morning, and let's ask the Lord to help us to be reminded about living in confidence in Him, putting our hope and faith in Him. Let Him do this work in our hearts.